Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
Okay, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Have Gene Elliott with us today, 2012 Iowa Golf Hall of Famer. Gene, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Clint. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, before we dig into an exciting 2021, which you had, let's just start from the beginning. What do you remember kind of from your early days, you know, growing up, you know, getting involved in the game?
Well, I was born in Fairfield, Iowa, lived there till I was almost 10, and played a lot of sports as a kid. And there was a couple Little League diamonds behind our house in Fairfield. So I was really into baseball. And but my dad played golf, and he belonged to a nine-hole course, Fairfield Country Club, and played some with him. And he had me go play with the junior kids out there. And they all lived like right around the golf course. They played a lot of golf, and I didn't play a lot of golf. So when I played with them, I was always probably the worst one. But we were 8, 9, 10 years old. I wasn't that much of a priority. And then we moved to Bettendorf, the Quad Cities, much more of a metropolitan area than what I was used to. I was used to a small town in Fairfield as a kid, and a lot more competition in sports, we didn't belong to a country club the first maybe 3-4 years we lived in the Quad Cities. We just played the Muni golf courses, and all the kids in the neighborhood belonged to Crow Valley. I had a field across the street from our house, and I would just hit balls up in that field and go pick them up for hours and hours and hours. And the other kids would go, "We're going to go play Crow Valley." And I'm like, "Okay, see you later." And they snubbing me. But I got better and started playing in some junior tournaments and doing okay. I think we were 13. I was 13 or 14, and I just begged Dad to join Crow Valley, and he finally did. And then come along my freshman year of high school, we get a new pro, and his name's Butch Harmon. We didn't know. We knew he was something special, but we didn't really know.
Right.
His dad had won the Masters, and when you're a kid, you don't really quite understand all that stuff. I think the best thing in golf for me was playing against the other kids day in and day out in the summer. My parents would drop me off at Crow Valley, and I'd play, 27, 36 holes, play. And, everybody's getting better at the same time, and they're trying to beat each other's brains in, and, you're playing for dimes and quarters and stuff. It was a good place to grow up and to work on your game and get better.
Gene, as a youngster, do you feel like kind of looking back that the game kind of came naturally to you, or was it a matter of, you were kind of learning as you went and got better, playing better competition? And then I'm sure Butch maybe gave you a few tips.
I've always had good hand-eye coordination. I shoot a basketball well. I could pitch. I pitched in baseball, was a good hitter in baseball. I loved all sports. So I think I just gifted to have good hand-eye coordination Butch. I don't think Butch really worked on any of our golf swings a lot when we were kids, but he just had this aura about him. When you played with him, he just made you better. You could just, he would just say little things and little comments that gave you confidence, and And, you know, really, I don't know. I've always said that that's what he did to the top players in the world, whether it was Tiger or Norman or Davis Love or whoever, that he just instills so much confidence in them. They don't think they can do anything wrong. And high school golf was maybe my best experiences in golf because we were competitive every year in the state championship as a team. My high school golf team, we had four guys turn pro off that team. So,
oh, wow.
It was a pretty, pretty strong team. So, it was just, a lot of fun growing up in the game. When I was a freshman, the golf season was in the fall for high school. So I had to make a decision between football and golf. Well, I'd play on if I played football, I'd play on the freshman team. If I played golf, I'd play on the varsity. And so that was a pretty easy decision. I'd rather, get my varsity letter as a freshman. I like football, but I wasn't going to go anywhere in football. And, played basketball throughout. I think a lot of golfers are basketball players and the hand-eye coordination, but I had an awesome junior golf and high school golf career. I mean, just playing it was fun, but to be successful it was just a blast.
Now, Gene, like prior to college, what was kind of a junior golf schedule look like? I mean, was a lot of local stuff there in the college cities or where all were you going? Do you remember as a junior golfer?
Yeah, there wasn't, there wasn't AJGAs, so many national tournaments and stuff, but the state junior was always a big one. The Insurance Youth Classic, they had qualifiers for that. And then the PGA junior and I didn't ever make it to those two national championships. I qualified for the U.S. Junior,
right,
at Hilton Head, I think in 78. And I made match play. I won one match. So I played in that. And then between my it was mostly local stuff qualifiers didn't do a lot of traveling, but right when I graduated, the Western Junior was 18 years old and under. Most were 17 and under.
Okay.
The Western Junior was 18 and under. And I went, I remember we left, I played in the Iowa Masters, which was a real big deal to play in when you were in high school. And
sure.
And we drove from Ames to West Lafayette, Indiana, to the Western Junior at Purdue University Golf Course. And I didn't know much about the Western Junior or the Western Golf Association. And I played, they had a north and a south course, played both, made match play. It averaged 107 degrees that week.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Just hotter than hot. And I started getting into matches and winning some matches I think it was in the semifinals, I got this kid that was going to Texas. I don't remember his name, but he was a real hot shot going to Texas. And I didn't really even know what I was playing for. Western Junior was a pretty big tournament. And I was just kind of going, sometimes that's the way it is in golf. You're not really worried about what's going on outside of you. You're
right.
Just kind of in your own little world. And,
yep.
I played this kid and I was one up going into 18, and it was a par five, and there was OB right and left. And I hit it out there and we both hit it in the fairway, and I played first, and I got up and I thought, well, I'm going to hit a three wood and get it up there near the green and then, finish this match off. Well, I pushed it way right out of bounds, and his eyes got bigger than, saucers. He's like, I got an opening here. Mm-hmm. So he takes an iron out and he snap hooks it left out of bounds.
Oh, geez.
And we both made double bogey, and I won the semis to go into the, into the finals. I played Mark Thaxton, who was a Wake Forest recruit, and, you know, I'm going to Iowa. He was going to Wake Forest, which was the big time school. And,
sure.
I played awesome. I think I won 5-4, 5-3 in the finals and won the Western Junior. And I'd already committed to Iowa and signed a national letter of intent to go to Iowa. So, I really never got better in college. I kind of just stayed the same. If I'd have gone somewhere else, I think I probably would have got better earlier. But when I got out of college is when I got to be a much better player. So.
You mentioned going to Iowa. I mean, was it as growing up as a kid, were you kind of like, hey, I want to go to Iowa and play golf, or was that not the case?
No,
not necessarily. You know,
my parents, neither one had went to college, and the college experience in general, I didn't really have anybody that I even knew that went to college. And so it was just kind of the next step after high school, and a lot of my friends were going to Iowa, and Finkbein, I'd played Finkbein many times, and, you know, junior tournaments and things, the state championship was always at Finkbein back then. And so, you know, it was just kind of a natural progression. Sure. I didn't really look at any other schools or anywhere else. I'll just go to Iowa. My friends are there. And I've met the golf coach. The golf coach wanted me. And so let's just go to Iowa. So
you mentioned, you know, kind of your college days, you just kind of, I don't want to say ho-hum, but, you know, like you said, you didn't really get a lot better. Is there anything you look back that it was just a matter of, you know, one thing or the other?
Golf is so much different now,
sure,
than back then. And there wasn't the instruction and the fitness and these golf coaches now are more like coaches in other sports. Before, I think there were a lot of, you know, just van drivers and get you to the course on time. And that was about it. But now it's, these programs are investing a lot of money with facilities and they're regimented. They see their coach, you know, every day or at least every week. I'd go, you know, months without seeing my golf coach in the middle of school. We were just on our own. We were always sure. on our own. Yep. I really needed to go see somebody and change my golf swing. Cause I good hand eye coordination, but I had a very flippy, handsy swing and it just wasn't consistent. I would be really good for a few weeks and then I'd be searching for months. Mm-hmm. You just can't play high level golf and be inconsistent. So I won tournaments and I did things, but it just wasn't consistent. That's the game of golf. You got to have consistency.
That's right. So following graduation, Gene, did you have kind of your mindset that you kind of wanted to, you know, kind of chase the professional game?
Yeah. I was naive. I didn't know much about pro golf and everybody said, hey, if you're going to try it, now's the time. And
right.
I thought, okay, now's the time. My parents had a two bedroom condo down at Greenleaf, just south of Orlando. And they had a guy down there, you know, heard this guy's a pretty good teacher. This is 1984. I said, well, I'm gonna call this guy and go spend some time with him. And his name was David Ledbetter.
I was waiting for that because I kind of know this story. So you just so the listeners understand, you go from Butch Harmon at Crow Valley, and then you wander in, and I think you remember saying he just had a little studio down there in Florida at the time, David Ledbetter.
So
yeah, I mean, yeah. His studio was I mean, it was the size of a, you know, it was tiny, very
yeah.
tiny.
Yeah.
And you know, I called him up and talked to his gal there, and she said, yeah, come down, we'll have you in a deal Monday through Friday. And I'd work with him for like maybe an hour or hour and a half in the morning, and then I'd just be on my own hitting balls. Then in the afternoon, he'd put me in a group session with, you know, ladies or older men or whatever, and do that for a couple hours. And I did that like for 5 days in a row. And everybody goes, oh my God, what'd that cost you? What'd that cost? And I said, I don't think I spent $1,000 for 5 days with David Ledbetter, you know. But he didn't have the name back then, and he didn't you know, he's got golf schools in something like 50 countries now, but you know, he basically told me exactly what I knew. He said, I bet you are lights out for 3 or 4 weeks out of the year, and the rest of the time you're searching. I said, that's exactly right. He says, well, you can't play pro golf like that. And he changed my grip. He changed my stance. He's changed my, you know, posture and swing, shortened my swing up. And you know, within a couple, you know, 3-4 weeks, I was like, wow. This is something. I'm, you know, I hit it inside of 6 feet like 3 times around now. And I'm like, I can play. And so I started playing, you know, mini tours and state opens and stuff. And I'm, you know, and I ran into Mark Thaxton, who went to Wake Forest, and we became friends, and some of the college All-Americans in that time period, you know, I'm beating them and, you know, mini tours, and I'm playing with them, and I'm like, hey, I'm not too bad at this. And you know, I just kind of progressed, and I won the Iowa Open in 85. In 86, I won the Missouri Open. And I just happened to remember this story. The Iowa golf team was just at Wake Forest tournament, and Jerry Haas is the Wake Forest golf coach. Well, Jerry and I were friends back then. And it was after the Missouri Open. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going down to Memphis and 4-spot for the PGA Tour Memphis tournament. I said, well, I 4-spotted down there and played in the tournament. I missed the cut. I said, well, I'm going to, you know, I'll go down with you. He said, sure. I said, you know what? I don't have $100. I said, can you loan me $100? And he said, sure. And so he paid my entry fee into the 4-spotter. Okay. And we went down there, room together, and I beat Steve Lowry in a playoff to get into the tournament.
That's awesome.
And then made the cut, played with Fuzzy Zeller last round, and tied for seventh at the 1986 Danny Thomas, which is the FedEx Classic.
Okay.
At Memphis. So, I made 1986. I made $17,632. That was huge.
Well, you're gonna say back, yeah.
Back then, you know. So, I mean, I thought, you know, I was going to be a tour player, and they didn't have the rule. I just won the Missouri Open, just finished seventh in a PGA Tour event,
right?
And they didn't have the rule where you finish top 10, you play the next week. Right. I went home and did nothing. After that, I didn't have a tournament to play in, and it was kind of a shame because I was playing well and couldn't keep it going. But pro golf, I made it to the finals of Q School 3 times, and twice in Florida, and once at PGA West in California, and to be totally honest, I choked at Q School all 3 times. It's an six round basically tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the top 50 get their PGA Tour cards for the next year.
Okay.
And twice I was 20th 1 year after 4 rounds, and I was 21st another year after 4 rounds, and I couldn't get it done. I couldn't finish in the top 50. I just choked. And when anybody ever talks about tour school, and people trying to make it through. I've got a lot of sympathy for empathy, I guess, because I've been there, and it is hard because you're playing for your livelihood. You're playing for the whole next year. I couldn't get it done. But that's life. Things don't always happen the way you want them to. I eventually ended up quitting pro golf and going into the family business. And I kind of, my business is just another way of competition to me. We've grown that over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. I got back into amateur golf in the late 1990s, and here we are.
Gene, you mentioned the 1985 Iowa Open, and I had a note to that. What do you remember about that?
I don't remember. I won both my Iowa Opens at Lake Panorama.
Okay.
I had Terry Miller, pro from Fort Dodge, mm-hmm. in a playoff. And I remember I birdied we went three holes at par three down the hill, number three, I think. Mm-hmm. I birdie made like a 15 footer for birdie there to win, but okay. He made, now I do, right? So eight in regulation, I've got it about 20 feet from the hole. He's got it about 80 feet. And I think I must have a two shot lead.
Okay.
He makes it from 80 feet, and I three putt.
Oh no!
To go into the playoff, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, he made it from the front of the green to the back of the green on 18, but I won on the third playoff hole. So I won at 96. Actually, it was the 85 was the first year it was at Lake Panorama, and then 96 was the last year. They played everyone there, and then they went somewhere else. And
okay.
I know it's been back to Panora since, but in that stretch, it was there. And in 96, I was an amateur.
Right. I was going to mention that.
Yeah. I played really well. I don't remember my shot, but I won by five. So it was a little bit more comfortable win.
Right, coming down the stretch there on the last few. Yeah, exactly. Gene, I know you've mentioned, and you've talked about this, other places where I've heard, but you played over in Europe a little bit professionally. Can you talk about that just a little bit and kind of where that kind of fit in?
Yeah, I played in Asia and Europe in 85. Had heard a lot of guys that went over to Asia, and our Hall of Famer, John Benda, from Humboldt, kind of led the Americans who wanted to play in Asia, and 50 from each country were allowed to play. So John would basically pick the 50 guys that would go over. And I was lucky enough to be one of them. I was 22, 3 years old and traveled to 10 or 11 different Asian countries and played in there. It's their national championships, and they pay in $100 bills. It was quite a learning experience. And
sure.
It was good golf, and it was good, good tournaments. And then in 19, I played in Canada, in 88 and 89, and in the fall of 88, I went over to Spain to the European Q School. Okay. Colin Montgomery was there, and some other well-known European players, and I got my card in Europe there. I think I played 10 events or something in Europe, and then decided that my dad was wanting me to come into the family business, and pretty much after Europe, I decided, I think I'm going to hang up pro golf become a normal guy and have a more normal life. So
tell the listeners about playing in Dubai and maybe how that was maybe a little bit different than it is now.
Yeah, you know, you watch that tournament on TV, and there's skyscrapers all around the golf course.
Right.
There wasn't a skyscraper within 3 miles of that golf course. It was Dubai is probably besides India, one of the strangest places I've ever been. You know, it's totally sand. It's right on the Persian Gulf. Fran Quinn and I were playing a practice round, and there's a lot of water on the golf course. And you look in the water, you can see every single golf ball that's in the water. And it's like they didn't sink to the bottom. They were like floating 2 feet below the surface of the water. They're like float suspended. And it's like, we're like, what the heck? And we're fish the balls out, and they're just normal golf balls. And we got into the pro shop after the round. We're like, what is going on with the balls? They don't sink to the bottom and everything. He said the groundwater there is all salt water. And then the fresh water that they water the golf course sits on top of the salt water. Okay. And the golf balls float on top of the salt water below the fresh water. And it was so bizarre to us. Yeah. That was quite an experience being in Dubai and the first night I was there, like 2-3 in the morning, and I thought the hotel was getting raided. There was music and yelling over loudspeakers and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, the hotel's getting attacked or something. And I just stuck my head under the pillow and went back to sleep. They can come get me if they're going to get me.
Whatever happens.
But next morning I said, what is that ruckus in the middle of the night? Oh, the Muslims pray to Mecca it's like 4 times a day. And one of them is at 3 in the morning or something. Sure. It's a long ways from Iowa. I'll just tell you that.
Right, exactly. So you got back into amateur golf late 90s, you said, Gene. What was kind of that like as far as a schedule, kind of getting back into the amateur game? Were you playing a lot of the Iowa stuff, or were you able to play some national stuff too? What'd that look like?
Well, I didn't play, between pro golf and amateur golf, I really didn't play much golf.
Okay.
And then, I started playing in a little bit of the Iowa stuff, the Herman Sani and some stuff around Des Moines. I had moved to Des Moines in 91 and started raising a family. And then my old buddy, Mike McCoy, he suggested to the tournament director, I had won the 96 Iowa Open, and he suggested to one of the tournament directors at the Northeast Amateur, and Mike couldn't play, and he says, well, why don't you get my friend back in Iowa? And so then I went out there and played in the Northeast Amateur, and then I got into the Porter Cup in 1998. Mm-hmm. I first time I'd ever played there, but I had remembered guys like Jerry Haas and Mark Thaxton and John Inman, and they'd always talked about playing the Porter Cup when they were in college, and they said, oh, one of the greatest tournaments I'd ever played in. So I kind of, that was in the back of my mind from years previous, and I got into the Porter Cup, and I went up there, and it was on TV actually. I won in a playoff, and basically that set me up to play in really any amateur golf tournament in the country that I wanted to play in. So, I think it's one of my most cherished wins, and it was a great field. There was a lot of young, Adam Scott played and Lucas Glover and Ben Curtis and a lot of tour winners and major champions and things like that. But they were all, 18, 19, 20 years old. I was 36 years old. So, now all of a sudden, this amateur golf hobby became a little bit more than just a hobby. So
more serious.
Yeah. But, I still, I was coaching the kids, my son Sam's basketball team for 5 years, and I had a stint at Little League coaching, which is awful. Anyhow, I always enjoyed doing stuff with the kids, and at that point in time, I tried to make golf not as much a priority, but I still loved to, I just love to compete. So, that's kind of how that time period went.
Well, and I know in 99 out at Pebble Beach, US got into the US amateur, and you were the stroke play medalist. What do you remember from that experience, Gene?
Well, I remember entering the US amateur, and it's going to be at Pebble Beach, and I'd played Pebble Beach one time in my life. And I said, oh my God, wouldn't that be something to qualify for the amateur at Pebble Beach? And I was so fired up to try and qualify. And the qualifying was at Muscatine, Geneva. Okay. And I had my dad caddying for me. And I shot 63, 69, and I was low in the qualifier by 10.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We had two spots, and I was just thrilled. And went out there, and I played practice rounds with Brian Vermeer and Bob, his father, who used to be the pro at Crow Valley and then went out to Omaha and was a pro. Oh,
sure.
Spencer guy. He was caddying for Ryan.
Okay.
And I played so miserable in the practice rounds. I couldn't hit it on the club face.
Oh, no.
And it was awful. I was hitting so bad.
Yeah.
And I went out and just played great. I played Spyglass first, and the rough was brutal at Spyglass and Pebble. It was just so hard. And I think I shot one under at Spyglass and then one over at Pebble, and was even par for the 36 holes. And that was low out of 312 guys.
Wow. Yeah. Played tough.
Yeah. And, that was the year before Tiger won the U.S. Open at Pebble by 15 shots.
Right.
It was kind of a test run, I think, for the USGA. They hadn't been at Pebble in many years. And, the rough was just, you could barely hit an 8-iron out of the rough. It was so mm-hmm. thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the, medalist curse, and I lost my first match. So that wasn't a lot of fun, but it was still just a wonderful experience to be medalist out there and to play Pebble. So.
Well, kind of sticking with the USGA theme. And I think I got my numbers right, Gene, you've been to 14 US Open sectionals. Just curious if you remember any memories of that, close calls or maybe a pairing you had or anything like that, or maybe where some of those were that you played at.
I did lose in a playoff I think it was 83 or 84.
Okay.
I was in Chicago and it was a 3-for-1, but I should have never been in the playoff. I think I made four double bogeys in 36 holes.
Okay.
And just, in a qualifier, just making, one or two can knock you out. And,
right.
And I made four, but I played really, really well, but, I was a 3-for-1 and I lost them. I was out on the first hole and the other two guys kept going, but it might've been it might've been a good thing I didn't go, 'cause I think I'd have shot a million at the US Open back then. So, I don't know, but that was my closest call. I was first alternate in St. Louis one year. Maybe was first alternate a couple times, but never got through that door. Tried real hard a bunch of times, but I got a lot of those little medals for making it through the local but never got in the big dance.
Yeah, got through to the big one. Well, I think we'll take a break with our discussion with Gene Elliott, Iowa Golf Hall of Fame member. Make sure you stop back for part two of our discussion on Greenside.
the IGA podcast.